The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
0.07%. When the world learned that actress Michelle Williams only earned 0.07% of what Mark Wahlberg made for the reshoots in the film All the Money in the World, the outrage was, at least in my house. Oh my God. How about your house, Stu? It was crazy in my house. We were so mad, nobody even talked about it, but it was that bad. It's a headline that looks bad, but before you cry for the eradication of the male species, maybe you should look at the whole story here. In an effort to reduce controversy and to be an Oscar contender, the director, Ridley Scott, decided that he needed to reshoot all of the now disgraced actor Kevin Spacey's scenes in All the Money in the World. Why was he doing that, Stu? He was standing up for, you know, women and people who were...
I mean, you know, it was part of the Me Too movement, right?
Yeah,
Kevin Spacey, a lot of the people he was harassing apparently were also men.
Yes.
But not all.
Yeah.
And
it was just to make sure that harassment is taken seriously.
Right.
Right, right, right. So both supporting actors, Mark Wahlberg and Michelle Williams, agreed to do the reshoots. Mark Wahlberg and his agent asked for $1.5 million to do the scenes, while Michelle and her agent negotiated for basically nothing. In fact, she said she would do it for free, but they paid her $1,000 to do the reshoots. So Mark and Michelle are both represented by the same talent agency, and Mark's agent pushed for $1 million payout. So why didn't Michelle do that? Because she's on record agreeing to do it for free. She said, "I'll be wherever they need me to be, whenever they need me, and they could have my salary, they could have my holiday, whatever they want, because I appreciate so much that they're making this massive effort," end quote. Now you're bringing this up that, oh, I didn't get paid anything. Now, Wahlberg, he didn't say those things. The opportunity that this movie presents for Michelle is worth a lot more to her than her salary. All the money in the world could very well be the most important role of her career and make us go, Michelle Williams, do I know Michelle Williams? I say Mark Wahlberg, I know who Mark Wahlberg is. It's possible that she may win an Oscar for her performance. If she does, then everyone will go, oh, Michelle, well, you know her from All the Money in the World. Remember she won that Oscar? Yeah. That's why she was so willing to reshoot without negotiating for more money. And if I may add, she didn't do the reshoots for free. She was paid $1,000, even though she volunteered to do the job for nothing. So, Michelle Williams, you got a bonus for reshoots and a very real chance of winning an Oscar. If she wins, she'll have something that Mark Wahlberg and all the money in the world can never buy. One of those stupid gold statues that you all covet so much.
It's Thursday, January 11th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It's amazing, too, because the money, all the money in the world is a movie essentially saying you shouldn't be greedy. Like, that's kind of the message of the movie.
What?
No. And yet, the complaint is that someone didn't get paid enough to do it, which is kind of funny.
Well, first of all, Stu, if we had to go and reshoot something, we were in a movie and do you think that they would, and I don't mean this, I just mean this because of the industry. Do you think that they would pay you as much money for the reshoot as you would me?
No.
No.
They would want, that's what happens.
And do you think that they would believe you if you said, I just can't do it. I don't have it in my schedule. I'm already on other projects. I can't go and shift gears and go back there and do that. Would you... believe they would believe that of you as much as they would believe that of me?
Well, probably not, I guess.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, people get
you
busy
could say
and they
that,
take jobs. Like, I mean, an
absolutely.
Actress can be on something, but she was willing to do it.
Right.
Right. Like, he was right. like, I've got other stuff going on.
Right.
Pay me.
Right. And also, it kind of goes to him and his ability to demand. It's called the free market.
Yeah.
His ability to demand.
You have to ask for it to get it.
Right.
In this situation, they're asking you to do something that's above and beyond what you've agreed to contractually.
Yeah.
You have to say, hey, yeah, I'll do it, but I'm not going to do it unless you pay me X, Y, and Z.
I'm not going to do it for free, which is the opposite of what she said.
Right. She said she would do it for free. And again, right. like, what do these people have to gain here? Mark Wahlberg is good in that movie. It's a good movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it, All the Money in the World. He's good. He does a good job in it. But Mark Wahlberg, you know, outside of the money, really gets nothing out of that role. I mean, he's a good supporting actor in a movie. He's already a megastar. It doesn't really matter all that much to him. Now, Michelle Williams is also really good in that movie, and she may very well win an Oscar.
Who is it? Is she the mom?
Exactly.
She play the mom?
Yeah, she's the mom.
Okay, so I don't even know. I would not recognize her if she was in the line of the grocery store next to me. I wouldn't know who she was.
I mean, so the point there is that she's actually got a lot more to gain from this movie
yes.
doing well.
Now, the question is this an Oscar thing for her? I mean, no, not the movie. I mean, is this of her bringing up saying, oh, my gosh, look at this. Look at what they're doing to me, a woman, to get the people in Hollywood to even go, oh, my gosh, look at her. She's such a warrior. She's our next Meryl Streep.
Right. That's what she wants out of this, right?
I guess.
You know? I mean, like, I'm looking at her IMDb page, and there's a lot of stuff that she's been in, but not a lot of big, you know, mega hits. And this is an opportunity for her to make a huge name for herself and get all sorts of amazing roles, and she's willing to try to make that happen for free. She doesn't have to. She could have. Think of what would happen if she went in, you know what, I want $1.5 million to do this. What are they going to do, reshoot her parts too? Because she's in like every scene. So you have nothing you can really do with Michelle Williams. You'd have to pay her, and you know what, they would have. But if an employee comes to you and say, hey, I want to work through Christmas and I also don't want to make any money, are you, you know, you're going to say, oh, okay,
So look, if this was reversed and Mark Wahlberg said, you know what, I am so disgusted by Kevin Spacey that I'll reshoot it, whatever you need. Just you don't even have to pay me. I'll work over the holidays. This is really important to me. Do you think they would have paid him $1.5 million?
No,
they
not.
Wouldn't have.
He demanded.
And if she said, you're going to have to pay me $1.5 million, they either would have paid her 1.4 or they would have found a way to shoot around her and not paid it. But most likely they would have paid it. And if she would have stood up and said, I made $1.5 million, and Mark Wahlberg then said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe she made what I always paid $1,000. I would say the same thing. Mark, you said you would do it for free.
Yeah. Exactly.
You said it was really important. You'll do it for free. I don't know if you understand how to negotiate.
It doesn't. I mean, this is an important part of this. I'll give you another example, too. The movie Wolf of Wall Street. Remember Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, yeah.
So Leonardo DiCaprio is the big star of that movie. Jonah Hill is in it as well. Now, Jonah Hill plays a very large role in that movie. He's a pretty big star. I mean, like, you know who Jonah Hill is.
The fat jokes don't stop with you.
What?
He's a really big star. And, oh, my God.
He's a very large star.
And a big role.
Yeah. But he is, right? He's someone unlike Michelle Williams. If he walked up next to you in the line of the grocery store, you'd know who he was right away.
Yeah.
And he did that role because he thought it would raise, he really wanted to do the movie. He thought it would raise his profile. He thought it would give him a serious actor chops as opposed to comedic actor mm-hmm. chops. So he did that movie for scale. Which I want to say it was low six figures for the entire movie. So unlike Michelle Williams, who got paid a normal giant salary for All the Money in the World and then just didn't get paid for her reshoots, Jonah Hill barely got paid in Hollywood terms for the entire movie, Wolf of Wall Street. And he did it because he wanted to do it. I will take scale. I want to do this because this movie is important to me. It's important to what I think my career is going to be. And that didn't mean Were the movie makers supposed to go to him and say, hey, you know what? No, you need to make 10 times that. Actually, Leo's making $20 million for this, so we got to make sure we pay you $20 million to even it out because you're two men and men we treat equally, unlike women. No, they were like, okay, we'll take you for $100,000. Sure. That sounds like a great deal. And it worked out really well. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen this, but it doesn't seem like I've heard Michelle Williams actually complaining about this.
You know what's incredible is it means something to you. You know, you'd think that you'd be like, no, this means something to me. When did that become dishonorable? This means something to me, and I don't want to get paid for it. And this is important that we reshoot this. And somehow or another, really, if you really want to talk about it in fairness terms, how come Mark Wahlberg, how come this is not about money? How come this is about, how come this isn't about Mark Wahlberg? This didn't mean so much to you? You could easily twist this in. Oh, so you didn't care about Kevin Spacey. Right. You didn't care about all the abuse that was going on.
That would also be completely
wrong. But it would make more sense.
More sense than this.
This is, look at this. She didn't get paid. No, I thought this was an important thing to do.
People are tweeting that Michelle Williams was Charity in The Greatest Showman, which I know you saw. One of the big roles in that particular
Charity
movie.
Charity, that was the opera singer?
No, the wife.
Right? Oh, she was great.
Great. I mean, she's really great. And someone's saying that she won an Oscar for Brokeback Mountain a million years ago.
That's one I didn't see.
I didn't see that either. And that's obviously because we're haters.
Yes,
In case you don't know, we don't like movies with mountains in them. We will not see them.
I'm very allergic to horses, even the horses on screen.
Right.
So.
But, I mean, this is a smart move for her. If it's something she cares about, this is a great thing for her to do. It makes her easy to work with. And you know what? It's the other part of this is the reason why they needed to do reshoots is because they were taking powerful men who abused their power too seriously, right? That's the reason the reshoots exist in the first place. The movie is about greed. She is, and we're all like,
They don't ever see the irony of what they do. They never, ever do.
These great storytellers would have a sense for irony. They just do not.
They do movie after movie where it's like showing the evil government out of control. And then they leave the studio, the bell rings, and they're like, you know what? We need bigger government.
What?
All right. How you doing on your goals so far? Did you make any goals? Did you make goals for 2018?
Just to be less fat. That's it.
Yeah, mine was to be more healthy.
Oh, I don't care about health. I just want to be less fat. I'm sick of being fat all the time.
You're still in your 40s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true.
All of a sudden, it'll change from fat to healthy. Yes, it will.
When does that change about?
It changed for me about 50.
Okay.
Yeah, then you were like,
I'd like to stay alive for a couple more years.
I wish I would have cared less about fat and more about health.
We should both report that both of us are sick right now.
Yeah, we're both flying on NyQuil.
Yes, so. I am complete. This is a show that we're going to do high. And we may very well fall asleep in the middle of monologues. If that happens, we'd appreciate you calling up and we'll just pot up your call and you can just talk and fill the space.
Yeah.
You know, that's that.
We're trying to figure out which guest spoke the most last year that we could call up and just go, so how are you? And let them just monologue.
And let them just go. And then just in the middle of their conversation, we'll just start the commercials.
Right.
And then they'll come back and they'll still be talking. And we'll just let them fill.
We've had a few of those guests. All right. Anyway, I want to talk to you about your goals. And if one of your goals is to feel better, you might want to look at your sleep. Your sleep changes your whole life. If you're getting a good night's sleep, it's why, you know, CPAP machines are so important. If you know, Pat should have a CPAP machine, and because he stops breathing, and I've watched him on airplanes sleep, he's like he wakes himself up every 30 seconds, and it's because he stops sleeping. If you can't get a good night's sleep, your body's not going to regenerate. It's just not going to heal itself. So, CPAP machine or just a great mattress. Are you kept awake because of your mattress? Casper has a unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and comfort so you feel perfectly balanced. And thanks to the breathable material, you're guaranteed to sleep cool. Plus, the mattresses are built to last for years. Now, I have a Casper mattress. I've had one for, I think, 3 years, and it has totally changed my sleep. 2018 is a great year to be able to get a good night's sleep. Try Casper yourself for 100 nights in your own home risk-free. They're going to ship it to you in a little teeny box. You open it up. You don't have to worry about putting it back in that little teeny box if you don't like it. They'll come and pick it up and refund everything, no questions asked. I want you to start your year off right with a guaranteed great night's sleep. Guaranteed. Try it for 2 weeks. Try it. You can do it for 100 nights, a third of a year. But if you don't love it, you call them up and they come and they pick the mattress up for free, and they return every single penny that you spent on it. Casper.com/Beck. Use the promo code Beck. You'll save $50 on the purchase of select mattresses. That's Casper.com, promo code Beck. Casper.com/Beck. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
I have the greatest hashtag Me Too story of all time.
Oh no! Who touched you, Glenn? Who touched you?
No.
Who?
Nobody.
Did it?
Can you find somebody?
No. I cannot.
Okay. So, in court on Tuesday, this person said that they were sexually harassed and they have been touched in their groin area several times in a sexual manner.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Bad, right?
It's terrible, obviously.
Yeah. This charge now, he doesn't have access to Twitter, unfortunately. Otherwise, he would have hashtagged Me Too immediately. Is Khalik Shaid Mohammed
the terrorist,
the hairy back guy?
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's been sexually harassed at Gitmo.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah, yeah, it's awful.
Him too.
Mm. He said the changes at the Gitmo policy have led guards to manually search his groin area.
Well,
and
that's a little different.
Hmm.
I want to say manually searching a terrorist's groin area is slightly different than sexual harassment at the workplace.
Can I tell you something? If there's a lawsuit to be had here, it's not that somebody touched his groin. It's that we made somebody touch his groin.
That's a great point.
I would countersue. Are you kidding me? Like, I want to touch him in the groin area? Have you seen the man?
I will say this.
Yeah.
He has a right to be believed.
He does.
Has a, not to be heard, not to be taken seriously. He has a
right to be believed.
So I immediately have jumped to the fact that he was actually sexually harassed. And I think whatever soldier, whatever, you know, person did this should be removed from their position and never work again.
So I would like to know, do you get to join the Me Too Club if you've ever gone to the airport?
Under Khalik Shaikh Mohammed's
yes, you do.
Construct of it, I think you do.
But you know what? Pat says that he feels like he was sexually violated.
Yeah, he's always been very sensitive on the TSA stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but you'd shake Pat's hand, and he's like, "I feel very uncomfortable." I mean, he's a little
touchy feely guy.
He's not a hugger.
No,
he's not a hugger.
No.
So you know, somebody saying grabbing him by his arm is kind of like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! What are you touching me for?" But he does say that he feels like he was sexually harassed at airports.
And I will say one of the things we've learned as we've gone through the Me Too movement,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
is that it's not important what the motivation of the person doing the touching is. For example, if someone touches you on your back or gives you a kiss on the cheek, mm-hmm. and they're doing it because they do it to everybody and it is not to them a sexual thing at all,
mm-hmm.
it's only important what the person receiving that contact feels. right? If they, not even at that time, if they 6 months, 6 years, 60 years later feel that that interaction was a negative one for them, then we believe the person who was touched and we destroy the person who did the touching.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it has to do with a negative sexual intent, mm-hmm, or if it was just passing.
Well, I will tell you,
that's kind of our current philosophy on the matter.
I will tell you, I want to bring this up, that there is a sexual charge coming out against me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mother said that apparently I used to, suckle on her when I was like one.
No,
and I,
please,
she was very uncomfortable. And
Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello and welcome to the program. Coming up, we're going to go into some of the predictions. I think today is tech, yes, predictions.
Technology.
And it's weird because a lot of these tech things are already happening. Yesterday, we told you about Kodak coin. This is the first time to be excited if you have anything to do with Kodak. It's like, hey, they learned their lesson. You know the story about how they went out of business? How fast that happened? Oh, you don't know this? This is fascinating. So Kodak, you know, made film, obviously. They were the film dealer for everybody. They were state-of-the-art film and film processing. And they had a billion employees in Rochester, New York. And they see the digital camera. And they said, well, that's not going to really take off. And so they decided to not, we'll let other people do the digital thing. We'll just stay in film. One Christmas went by, and it was the first Christmas that digital cameras started to take off. They met again, and they were like, no, we are a film company. Three Christmases later, they were almost out of business. It happened that fast. They went from,
wow,
the Titan to 3 years later, nothing. And then they were like, maybe we should do the digital thing. And it was too late. So the first thing that I think Kodak has done that is really smart is they have just come out. They announced it, I think, Monday or Tuesday, a Kodak coin. And it's like Bitcoin. But here's and this is in one of my predictions that some company is going to do this and they're going to use blockchain and coin to do it. And I said in the prediction that it would be Facebook or Apple or somebody like that. Kodak is the one that comes out and does it. And what they've done is, you know how you have, the stock photo thing. What is it? Not Reuters, but you always see it. You go there for stock photos,
right,
of news things. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but
yeah, there's a few companies that do.
Yeah,
that
there's a company that, you know, the big one takes you sell your or you post your photo of, you know, I've got the president picking his nose, and they put it on a service, and that service goes and everybody has it. And if you want to use it for television or radio or newspaper or something, that you just buy it from them, and then that company pays you.
Getty Images.
Yeah. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kodak has decided they're going to do it. And so what they do is in your camera, you will take pictures and it will automatically go into blockchain and be held by you. And you can immediately post it. I mean, you take it and it posts for sale from Kodak. Mm. And then there's no middleman. They're not negotiating anything. It's just posted. They want to buy it. They buy it through Kodak coin. You get paid immediately, and it's simple, and there's no middleman. That's Kodak coin.
That's great.
That's really brilliant.
It's interesting, too, because they're having a big renaissance because they've tied themselves to this blockchain idea.
Yeah.
And that's happening to a lot of companies. And it's a lot of them are like very strange stories, like this Chanticleer Holdings. You're a big fan of them.
No, no, Chanticleer.
Yeah,
I've never heard of it.
They own several Hooters restaurants, nine Hooters restaurants.
Okay, all right.
And they own some of the stock of Hooters of America.
I'm trying to figure out the connection to blockchain.
Right, that's what a lot of people are doing.
Right, okay.
So they said it was a couple weeks ago that they would use blockchain related technology for its customer rewards program. Essentially, they just made a press release about blockchain, and their stock went up 50%.
Okay, that happened. I saw that. Not that story. I saw that happen last year. There was another company that just has nothing. They didn't even announce that they were putting blockchain. Nothing.
Yeah.
They just put blockchain in their name.
Yeah.
It was like Glenn's Blockchain. And it went up. And the company has nothing to do with blockchain. They just were like, let's make some money off this blockchain thing.
That's really smart. They're getting.
Yeah. I don't know if it's not going to work really well. I mean, it's like, you know, that's Warren Buffett saying, don't invest if you don't know how it works. You know, most people don't even understand what blockchain is, let alone Glenn's blockchain. That's just somebody out there going, I know, right. Let's put some money in their blockchain thing.
Right. They're thinking, okay, here's a new company or a company that's changing its goals, and now they're going to be working in blockchain. Get in now.
Get in
early. So whoever owns that company increases their cash by 50% or whatever it is. And then they can sell and make a bunch of money. And then when it turns out that they're not actually doing it, eventually the stock will surely come down. But it's a good idea.
So 2 days ago, I had about a 2-hour meeting with a guy from Silicon Valley who's a real mover and shaker and who's been instrumental in some of the biggest companies around now, the new tech companies, and had a fascinating conversation. Yesterday, Stu and I had a conversation with a blockchain and cryptocurrency guy. And man, I hope he's right.
Yeah, he was optimistic, I would say.
Yeah. What did he say that he thought Bitcoin would go up to?
He said several hundred, 500,000.
500,000, yeah. I thought. And he didn't put a time period on that, did he?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. And he's been right about a lot of these things. You know, I'm sure he's been wrong about a lot of these as well, but he's been right about a lot of these. And he was like, yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot to learn, like Ethereum. He taught us about Ethereum a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was like an operating system.
Yeah, it is. What a lot of these like secondary, or even below that, coins are built on. It's like that's like the operating system for these new, Bitcoin types. I'm trying to explain this in a way that anyone who doesn't know this understands it. But it's basically like if you're going to create the new Bitcoin, right? Kodak coin comes out, it's probably built on Ethereum. Ethereum is essentially the operating system for it.
I was reading some stuff from Milton Friedman. We put it in a monologue on TV last night. If you missed it, you should watch it. But Milton Friedman talked about the internet and said the internet is going to be gigantic and it will really change things. It will change government and everything else once you come up with a digital currency. And here we are. We're at a digital currency.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, how are the governments of the world, when push comes to shove, they're so far behind that they don't. I mean, I remember having a conversation with somebody in Congress who sits on a committee for this kind of stuff. And I was talking to them about, you know, technology that's coming. Me, I have a rudimentary at best understanding of this stuff. And they just kept looking at me and blinking, and they were in a room with a few people and they were like, huh, we're going to have to look into that. I mean, maybe we should look at, is there regulation that we should be looking into? And I went, what? By the time you guys even figure this out, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have no concept of what's coming.
Yeah, people talk about this, and it's not a matter of whether cryptocurrencies fail because the governments try to stop them. It's the idea of whether governments will fail because of cryptocurrencies.
Correct.
It's interesting, and I think like these things obviously have been in the news a lot. I think there's different levels of interest, right? Like the top tier are people who are real investors and really know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. There's a secondary tier.
Was I some more NyQuil?
I know. I'm going to take a little bit more.
Yeah.
The secondary tier of people who know a decent amount about it and maybe invest in it, right? Then there's people who kind of just follow the news and are interested in things like a money supply that the government can't inflate. I think a lot of people in our audience are interested in that aspect of it. The idea that that could solve a thing we've been complaining about for decades.
Forever.
Right?
Forever.
And it's not centralized through a government. There's no trusted source. It's all done automatically. And it takes government nonsense out of the process. I think there's a level of interest there. And I think at the very bottom of it is just, I like hearing stories about people getting mega rich off of things. I love those stories where like someone invests a dollar. Like we had someone who wrote in yesterday to one of our stories on Facebook and said they got in an argument
with their wife
in 2013 about buying 500 bitcoins.
Oh my gosh.
Now, 2013.
How much was that?
Let me look at the Bitcoin chart here real quick.
I didn't realize it was 500 Bitcoins.
500.
Somebody in our audience, we have to talk to you.
Yes.
If that's you, you have to call in.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
So how much was it?
So,
he had an argument with his wife, and she said, we're not going to put money in Bitcoin. And he said, honey, right now, it will cost us how much?
I'm looking that up.
We should invest 500 Bitcoin.
Can you imagine? Can you freaking
2013,
imagine?
That had to be...
Okay, so 2013, we're at...
It had to be 200?
Yeah, so 2013, it ranged... That was the year that it had its first, what they were calling at the time, a bubble, where it peaked at $1,000, okay? But then it ran down, and it was between... He said 2012 or 2013. So 2013... it was, for most of the year, about $100. At the beginning of 2013, it was $13.
Oh, my God.
So let's take it average.
Let's say $50.
Yeah.
Let's say $50.
Yeah, so that would have been $25,000, right? 50 times 500 is $25,000. So that's a good, you think, I don't know.
Now do 500 times, let's say, 15,000.
15,000. We'll get you a better return of $7.5 million.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said,
still together?
I thought it's a great
way to
ask them. Are
they still together? We have to track that listener down.
Yes, he said, we had the argument, I lost the argument, and I'm still poor, was the way he described it. 500 bitcoins. He must have had some money, right? I mean, even at the lowest, it would have been $5,000 or $8,000. But $7.5 million is better than $8,000 in money. at least that's my impression.
Is it?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Is that Common Core math?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah,
I have to show my work.
Yeah, show your work on that.
But that's nothing compared to the guys who founded Ripple. Now, Ripple is another cryptocurrency. So you have Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin. Ripple
seems pretty shady. Well, only because they announced that Ripple was going to go on to Coinbase. And if Coinbase...
They didn't announce that. That was a rumor. That is not...
That was a rumor? That wasn't...
Yes, that is not... There's no reason to believe that that's happening at this point.
No, but, I know that. But yeah. I thought it came from them.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Well, somebody... And it looked pretty... It looked pretty solid. And it went from like $1.50 to $3.50, $3.90, something like that.
And it's fallen down a little. It's in the high $1 right now. But it was also 0.06... Or 0.6 cents in 2017. 0.6 cents is what it was. You could have bought these things for 0.6 cents. Now, the way that it's different than, let's say, Bitcoin. Bitcoin, as I was talking about, like, it's not centralized, right? And it is there's a limited amount of Bitcoins that will ever be created. So there's no inflationary risk here. Most of the Bitcoins, 80 some odd percent of them, are already out. So there's not an inflation there. Ripple, they created 100 billion of these things upon inception. Okay, so they created 100 billion of them, and they did, the way they gave them away, it was like they did giveaways, they did all sorts of things, but they've only released a third of them. So 66 billion of these Ripple coins are held by the company, which was like three guys who created them. Okay, 66 billion. They're currently about $2 per coin. Okay, so that's a lot of money. The way this breaks down, Forbes looked at it. It's actually insane. The co-founder and CEO, Chris Larson, who stepped down in November 2016, he now serves as the executive chairman of Ripple. He has 5.19 billion Ripple tokens in his personal holdings and a 17% stake in the company.
He's got $5 billion
himself. No, he's got more than that. His net worth currently... And this was, the price was slightly higher than it is right now, but when this was written, the net worth personally, $37.3 billion.
Oh my gosh.
That would make him the 15th richest American on the 2017 Forbes 400 list.
This stuff is going to...
Steve Ballmer.
This stuff is going to change the world. Think of the power shift. Here's a guy who had nothing, and now he's got $37 billion. I mean, you know, he hit it in the wrong hands. Hooters is going to be where Congress meets.
Got news for you. They're already meeting there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It is a Hooters
without the wings.
By the way they have this formatted is they can release 1 billion new tokens every month. So every month they can just bring in cash $2-3 billion to fund this operation. And they're trying to make it a big
that sounds a like bank a Ponzi payment. Scheme in a way, because you can print them. That's why Bitcoin is so good. It just can't print them.
Yeah, they
it's
can
not making them.
This way you can really flood the market. But it's a really interesting project.
All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about Liberty Safe, the museum. I just bought a new Liberty Safe because I keep a lot of the stuff for Mercury One safe. It's kind of my job. And take some of the really, really, you know, really rare stuff and put it in safes. We just got, I've needed one for a while. We've had stuff stacked on top of each other and just bought a new Liberty safe because the sale that they're having is really, really good. I've not seen them offer the Liberty safes with these kinds of deals and also the payment plans. Right now through January 22nd, you can get into Liberty's new Tough USA series for $8.99, $9.99, or $10.99. Plus, you get Liberty's 12 months interest-free or payments as low as $20 a month on approved credit. So you can afford a Liberty safe. If you need one for your guns, for your papers, I will tell you, the first one I got was a small one. We don't even use it anymore because it's like it was literally I got it home. And by the first day, it was almost full. We were like, what? I didn't realize we had stuff that we should, you know, paperwork and stuff like that. Liberty Safe. Keep your guns, keep your paperwork, keep the things that mean something safe in a Liberty Safe. They're also professionally installed by the authorized dealers, and the dealers are really, really great. It's LibertySafe.com. Go there. Don't let these deals slip by you. It's LibertySafe.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Well, Stu, are you following the release of the GPS transcripts?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I know Dianne Feinstein apologized to Chuck Grassley for not letting him know it was
coming.
But
did you see the apology? She said, I'm sorry, I was just pressured to do it.
Pressured to do it by whom?
Exactly. And when Chuck said, by whom, she said, oh, I didn't, no, I didn't mean that. I mean, I sorry. What the hell is happening with the Fusion GPS thing? More on this and a look into what's going to happen this year technology-wise next.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
You know what's truly amazing? The U.S. national debt is over $20 trillion and rising. Did you hear anybody mark the day when it hit $20 trillion? Remember when we used to count the number of dead in the war? Remember when people used to actually say when George Bush, when George Bush was in office, it's about to turn to $6 trillion of debt. It's $20 trillion. Now, most of the government is owned by you know, or the government, but there's $6.3 trillion in treasury bills. Those are notes and bonds that are held by foreign countries and companies. And China is the granddaddy of all of them, holding U.S. treasuries totaling $1.2 trillion. Now, that's money we don't have. It's been good for China, helping them keep their currency weaker than the dollar, which is what they want to do. It keeps their exports competitive, and it's been good for us. Consumer prices for goods remain low, and the government gets to spend more money and spend themselves until they're silly. People try to make everything sound really hard when it comes to government financing, but it isn't. It's actually really easy. If you think of the United States as a giant corporation, and countries like China that purchase our debt in the form of treasuries are like investors or banks. You know, you buy a 10-year treasury, we get that cash, but we have to pay it back with interest in 10 years. So it's really kind of like a bank. Well, yesterday, something interesting happened. the dollar, treasuries, the stock index futures all declined because there was a rumor that came out from China. And the rumor was that senior government officials in Beijing had recommended slowing or even stopping the purchases of U.S. treasuries. Now, the consequence for this for you is huge. China is our biggest investor. They're our biggest bank. So now why would they do this now? Nobody is talking about the danger in the Chinese economy, because the Chinese economy is in trouble right now. The last few years for them have been the worst in 30 years. Like the rest of the world, they never really recovered from 2008 and the financial crisis. Less people are buying their stuff, while at the same time, their labor costs are rising. Because people in China are like, wait a minute, they have all this stuff. I kind of want some of that stuff. They've racked up a huge debt with underperforming loans, and nearly half a billion people live below their poverty line. Can you imagine what their poverty line is like? So if your family invests in the stock market, but then dad loses his job and starts to miss mortgage payments, does the bank call in that loan? The bank might call and say, hey, what's going on? Now, if it was like a Jimmy Stewart bank, they would say, okay, what are you doing? Come on in. Let's look at what you're doing. And if you're saving your money and you're preparing for the hard times and you're doing everything you can and you get a second job, Jimmy Stewart Bank is going to say, okay, I believe in you. We'll extend the loan. We're not going to call the mortgage. But if you're just spending like crazy, then what? They see trouble. The truth is that they have been quietly selling debt and calling in loans since 2016. Japan briefly overtook China as the largest debt holder before they began calling in loans. This leaves us with a couple of choices. The reason why they're not saying these things out loud and they're just rumors is, quite honestly, I think, to prepare you. Anybody who's smart heard this rumor, knows that in 2016, they did stop buying some of our loans. They did start liquidating some of them, which sends to us, the civilians of the world, the ones who are really going to be crushed by this, that we need to tell the government, cut the spending. But they won't. They will print money. One thing is clear, the global economy is primed for something really big. If we print money and we don't curb our spending, we are going to pour gasoline and kerosene and nitroglycerin on a very shaky bonfire.
It's Thursday, January 11th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Did we go over yesterday about the melt up on radio? I don't know if we did. We did on television
TV,
last night.
Yeah. You can watch that at theblaze.com/TV.
Yeah, please watch last night's episode on The Blaze. I put out some charts to show you what a melt up is, a meltdown in the stock market, you know, a giant crash. But if you look at the bubble that is coming, I think we are headed for a melt up, and I think we're already in it. And they last anywhere from 12 to 36 months. 3.5 years, I think, is the longest. And I think we're already in it. And I don't know when it started, I think it started a while ago. And everybody is saying the stock market is going up, the stock market is going up, and it's going up because things are getting better. I think there's something else going on, and it's the beginning of a melt up. And if you look at any big crashes in the world, the stock market will all of a sudden just turbo up. And I don't mean like, oh, it's 20 and now it's 25. I mean, it's 25 and it's going to be 40. And a huge global catastrophe has in the past always begun just like that. That the stock market will become and will feel, society will feel about the stock market a little like they felt about Bitcoin in November, where everyone was talking about it, where everyone is saying, I got a hot stock tip. You got to get into this stock because this stock is really high. The stock is just going to take off. When everyone is behaving on the stock market like they were behaving in November about Bitcoin, that's when you need to run. But one of the predictions that I have made for 2018 is that we are going to enter and begin to see this melt up. I believe the stock market will be at 30,000 by the end of the year. I think it's, everybody says it can't go to 30,000. I think it could go to 40,000 in the next 24 months or 50,000. And then when that happens, it crashes hard and the whole world is in shambles. So that's one of the things that we've talked about. I urge you to go look at the, and they're not predictions. You know, I want to make this really clear. This is more forecasting. You know, when I talked about the caliphate and the housing crisis, I knew in my gut before I did any research. I did research to verify it. I just knew it. I could see it. And that is more of a prediction. And that's not necessarily what these are. These are me sitting down and reading a lot and studying a lot and looking at the world in a different way and saying, I think this is what's coming. So this is more forecasting. So anybody who believes in the things that I have talked about, I just want to separate that. I think it's important that you look at these things as forecasting and not as one of those, you know, caliphate things that I knew with everything in me. However, they all have a trend line that you will be able to see. And that is what I do know. So yesterday, Foreign Affairs, because we've posted these at glenbeck.com, and yesterday we posted Foreign Affairs and went over them. And we asked you to vote, which ones do you think are most likely to happen and least likely to happen? And in Foreign Affairs, Turkey will continue to turn towards religious fascism and will continue to make hard turns towards Sharia law. That got 20% of the listeners saying, yeah, they thought that was going to happen. Cultural clashes between immigrants and natives will cause backlash from the public across Western Europe. That will continue. 19%. Persecution of Christians, homosexuals, non-Muslim religious minorities, and those Muslims not deemed Muslim enough will reach new lows for humanity in the Middle East. I see a massive, massive problem coming beyond anything that we have seen yet. Another socialist country will see its currency collapse. The least likely is the one I think is most likely to happen, strangely. China will land a rover on the dark side of the moon, and it has serious consequences for us militarily. And I will be shocked if that doesn't happen by the end of the year. But we'll see. You want to start with today's, Stu?
Yeah, we can do that.
Where do you want to start? Because this is tech and AI, and there's a lot of these. I have been studying for really hard for about 8 months, and reading as much as I could on technology and futurist stuff, and I've been doing that because the world is about to profoundly change in the next 10 years. And 10 years from now, you will not recognize it. And I know I've said that before. You won't recognize the world. And I've been right on that. When I said that in 2007, there's going to come a time soon where you're going to wake up and you will not recognize your country.
And think of what's happened since then. The smartphone. Yeah. Right? Since 2007, I think that's the year the iPhone came out. Think of how much your life has changed.
Just from that. But I meant that you're not going to be able to see it with its values, and you won't recognize your country. And everything will be upside down. Everything that you thought you could trust, you're not going to be able to trust. All of that, I believe, has happened. I feel as strongly about that as I do about saying this. In 10 years, you will not recognize your life anymore. Everything is about to change. So go into it with that understanding. Where do you want to start on these?
How about this one? Because I think this is definitely possible, but I'm curious as to why you think it's going to happen this year. An AI-generated image or audio file will be used to hoax the public.
So I don't think we're going to find out about this one. I think I put this in here because I think we are so close to this that it is possible that this comes out because of the midterm election. If it's not going to happen here, it will happen by 2020. We are so in the highest levels, you can hoax almost anything now. You can make anyone look like it's like they're doing something they shouldn't be doing at the very highest levels. And it's real. And once this is just a little farther ahead, you'll be able to destroy your adversary by releasing an audio tape or a video of them doing or saying something that they swore they would never do. And by the time you figure out about it, the damage will be done.
Like a sex tape or corruption. Like, for example,
let's say this. I do not believe the Russian thing on Donald Trump and the golden shower thing. Do not believe it. For this one reason alone, he's too much of a germaphobe.
That is true.
Seriously.
Yeah.
He's too much of a germaphobe. He would not do that. But if they released a tape and it was Donald Trump, you would say, oh, my gosh.
I guess he did do it.
And it would never, that imprint would never go away. Even if you found out later, 6 months later, that was totally bogus. We're entering a time, because one of the others is the general population will begin to realize that you can no longer trust what you hear, see, taste, or touch as a test of something being authentic.
I mean, that's how do you judge life at that point?
Okay, well, remember, we changed in the Dark Ages. This is why this is so important. The word nonsense was a public uprising. Okay, that came from the churches saying, I know, God tells me. And so you have to do those things. Well, the people rose up eventually and they were like, you know what? No, the king is just born and he says, I know, and the church backs him up. No. So the word nonsense was don't believe nonsense. Don't believe the things that you can't see, hear, touch, smell, or taste. Don't believe it. That's nonsense. We're about to go into a place to where you're going to have to say, nonsense is the only thing that I can trust. We have to, the most important things that you can teach your children right now. One, teach your children to think out of the box. I am this close to saying publicly and in my own life, my kids will never go to college. I do not want them going to college. And the reason why is because they will be taught what to think. They will go into a box and the world is not in that box anymore. So the most important thing you can teach your kids is how to find information and to stay nimble mentally. Don't get locked down into anything because life is going to change so many times so fast in their life. They have to be nimble. Education, the way education is being done right now, will not help them. It will harm them, deeply harm them in the future, I believe. Hmm. The other thing that you can teach your kids is how do I know that that's true? How do I not just how can I search for the truth, but what do I feel about that? Are there gifts, are there tools that you have internally that can help you cipher the truth, a way for you to be able to go, that's not right, there's something wrong there? Those two skills will put your children way ahead. Everything else will be secondary to those two skills. Mm. More on the on the rest of the high tech coming up in just a second.
So you can go to glenbeck.com right now and see the predictions, all of them, for technology that we're going to go through, some of them here today, as well as you can look at the predictions for foreign affairs, for politics. And then tomorrow there's a kind of a cryptocurrency one that goes out. You can get that early if you sign up for the newsletter at glenbeck.com.
Okay. You have heard me talk for years about Goldline. And Goldline is the place that I buy gold, and the only place that I would recommend. I know these people. I've been with them for 10 years. I know how they treat people, and I know what gold is worth. Now, I buy gold as an insurance policy against insanity. I don't buy it as an investment. However, I've been reading a lot lately about people saying that gold is about to hit new highs this year. I don't read that stuff about gold because I don't buy it for that. I buy it, although it's made a lot of money, since I first bought it. I buy it because the world always comes back here. When things go nuts, it always, always comes back to gold. From Moses to, Bretton Woods right after World War II, when things have to be reset, it resets on gold. It is something that I hope I never have to, lay my hands on and use. I hope to pass it on to my children so they can lay it on their hands if the world ever goes truly nuts. Right now, Goldline is having a sale. It's a sale that they had last year. I can't believe it, gold sale, but it is because they've just been purchased by one of the largest gold wholesalers in the world. I think it is the largest in the United States. And so with the new ownership, they can buy it in bulk and they buy it at lower cost so they can pass that savings on to you. So I want you to find out what's going on now at Goldline and prepare yourself. Goldline, 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
There's so many of these forecasts here for 2018 that I've made on technology that I want you to go to glenbeck.com. I'm going to race through a couple of them here. Cord cutting will continue to pick up pace as Amazon and others begin to serve linear needs. So in other words, Amazon, you're going to start settling down on Amazon or Netflix, and they're going to start introducing like linear channels. And you're going to be able to be basically a cable company yourself. You're going to say, I want Glenn Beck and I want Ben Shapiro and I want CRTV. And they'll be called skinny bundles and you'll be your own cable company. That's about to happen. Personal assistants such as Alexa, Siri, and Google Home are going to begin to penetrate the market. Our creepiness is going to go away and we're going to start to like those things.
I would say that one's already happening, but you're saying to a bigger level,
and you'll see why later. Battery performance could double in this year, and quantum computers for the first time will compute something that could not be done by traditional computers.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Try to do a forecast of the things that I think are going to happen. Some of them are fun. Some of them, not so much fun. Things that you need to be aware of. I have no idea. There's 40 of them. And they cover all topics. And, next year at this time, we'll be going through them and probably making fun of a lot.
Oh, I'll definitely be mocking you for every one you get wrong and ignoring all the ones you get right.
Yes, of course.
There's no problem with that. Let's go through some of these.
These are tech. Today is tech.
Yeah, technology. And this is an interesting thing because you've been reading so many tech books. Mm-hmm. Really, dozens? Over the past like 6 months.
Yeah.
And I don't want to read all of those. So feel like is like you've read them all and then like you can crystallize what you think all of these things are kind of coming together on.
Yes.
And that's what this list is. You can see it at glenbeck.com and vote for the ones you think that will come true in the next year. Consumer AI. Artificial intelligence that attempts to gauge our emotions will be introduced.
It just happened yesterday at CES. It just happened.
Really?
There is a story. We'll have to find it, and maybe we can show some pictures on of it on TV tonight. There is a story about a ping pong playing robot at CES, and it's not about the fact that it can play ping pong with you. It has cameras up above the table, all directed at you, and it's evaluating your emotions.
Your emotions?
Your emotions. Are you frustrated? Are you confident? How are you playing? And it's trying to engage and see your emotions. And the reason why this is important, this is not just a fun thing, is this is to do a couple of things. And in fact, let me look here. Deep learning robots. Can we come back to the emotion thing
sure,
for a
yeah.
second? Okay, because there's three of these that are kind of tied together.
Yeah.
Deep learning robots will become more important in medicine. When I found this out, I couldn't believe it. There is a, you know what Big Blue is? IBM's Big Blue?
Yeah. Is that the chess playing
yes.
computer?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the chess playing thing is called narrow AI. It's not thinking. It's you've just put in every possible chess move into Big Blue. And so it's just looking at all of the chess moves that have ever been done and how they went. And then it sees Gary move a piece and it's like, okay, he's probably going to go do this. So I'm going to do this chess move. Okay. That's called narrow AI. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that Big Blue can do is play chess. There's another one. And I don't remember what it's called. IBM then put a Jeopardy computer on. And it gave it all the information, and all it's doing is looking at all of that information and trying to get to the answer faster than the human, okay? Still narrow AI. There's narrow AI that, I can't remember the name of the hospital now. Shoot. It's not Columbia. It's up in New York.
General Hospital?
Yes, General Hospital, right?
Yeah.
With Luke and Laura.
A lot of drama there.
Right.
I mean, guys,
crazy.
Do some freaking medical stuff.
Right. So I think it's Sloan Kettering that is doing this. They got together with IBM and they said, IBM said, you know what? I wonder if we could do this for cancer. I wonder if we could put all of the cancer results that we've ever had, all the diagnoses, all the treatments, from all of the records of anybody who has come into Sloan Kettering and said, I think I have cancer, put all of that information in and let's see if the computer can diagnose cancer better than humans. The best Sloan Kettering doctors, I mean, the best cancer doctors are about 50 to 55% on catching cancer early. Big Blue or this IBM computer that is the narrow AI on cancer is now in the 90s. Okay.
Mm.
So you think that you want a doctor that is a human. This is only doing Sloan Kettering. There is another company that has just come out and I'll give you the name maybe tomorrow or something because I just don't have it off the top of my head that saw this and went, well, this is stupid. Why are they just doing it with Sloan Kettering? Let's gather all cancer stuff. Let's gather every single case from around the world. Let's put the NIH in it. Let's put everything from the United States in it because the more information it has, the more accurate it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so they're starting to gather all of this data. Who's going to go to a doctor? Who's going to go to a human when you have a 40%, you have a 40% better chance of getting your cancer diagnosed than you do with a human.
Right. You want the best outcome possible.
Yeah. Have you run this through the computer? Yeah. I want to know. Do you run this through the computer? So now computers are going to, that's the first step. They're going to start diagnosing and start doing surgery. So they're going to play a bigger role in medicine with deep learning robots. The next thing is nurses and doctors. Imagine you're sitting with an AI and they have to tell you have cancer. Okay. And you're really upset. If it's just a cold, you have cancer. You've
you
got 3 months.
Cancer.
Right. Nobody will want it. There's a huge shortage of nurses already in America. By 2020, I can't remember the number. It's an astounding number of nurses that we're going to be short of. Already, I think it's 40% of all nurses come from the Philippines, coming in from the United States. We're not producing nurses, and we're going to need a lot more nurses than we have now, but definitely in 5 and 10 years from now as the population gets older. So what do we do? So they're looking into the possibility of AI nursing, but that's where emotions are critical. So the ping pong playing tennis guy, it's just not a game. They're introducing it as a game, but what that is they need to be able to make computers recognize your emotion and then reflect that emotion in appropriate ways. Because in 10 years from now, you go someplace to check in to a hotel or whatever, an average hotel, not a really nice one because they probably will have people. It's just going to be a computer there, and it's going to relate to you. It'll be AI. And it needs to be able to relate to people emotionally so they can reflect whatever the you're in a restaurant and you're being served by AI and it's your anniversary. It needs to be able to pick up on that and reflect it. And, you know, you're really mad because you had a bad meal. It needs to understand that.
That's a creepy world, though. There's a lot of creepiness in that until we get used to it.
So it's a creepy world because of this. Right now, we are teaching it how we feel, and then we're teaching it how to fake those feelings. We know right now it can't feel, so it can't genuinely reflect those feelings back. It doesn't have genuine compassion. We're teaching it how to fake compassion. So my problem with this is, for the future, when we do have ASI, artificial super intelligence, which will claim to be alive, I don't want to have spent 10, 15, 20 years teaching it how to lie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How to recognize what we're feeling and then be able to play off of those feelings.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because a lot of times we talk about these topics and they're positioned in the negative. And there's a lot of creepiness kind of surrounding what you're talking about, but you're also talking about massive improvements in healthcare, massive improvements in diagnosing your disease and treating your diseases. I mean, we could wind up, you know, doubling and tripling our lifetimes.
So let me give you this one. This is way out on a limb, but two major illnesses will be cured by new advances in medicine. This year. This is way out. Mm-hmm. I think this has a very low chance of happening, but it could through gene splicing. We're now starting to go in and gene splice and we're making real progress on things like hemophilia and sickle cell anemia. Those could go away soon. And it's because of the deep learning robots, the deep learning artificial intelligence, things like gene splicing. We're entering territory that I think we will cure cancer. I don't know, in the next 10 years, maybe.
Wow.
And when we start to have artificial general intelligence, a step down from the spooky intelligence, when we have artificial general intelligence, when we have deep learning robots that have all of the information on cancer, all of a sudden that's going to turbo. When you feed every bit of information into that computer, if it's already twice as good at diagnosis today, when we feed all of the information in cancer, it's going to be able to look at you way in advance and go, cancer, get it.
And I think those outcomes are going to be so positive that the downsides of losing our privacy and giving up all of our information and all of those things are going to seem so inconsequential. And in reality, those are going to be big debates that are important.
I will tell you that, you know, I kind of want to go into, if we have time, you heard my theory yesterday of one of the questions that I asked about, you know, we were talking about, you know, the future, and I talked about bionic arms. We have questions that have to be answered today, because in 5 years from now, you're going to be asked ethical questions that you won't know how to answer. I'll give you a from based on the Bionic Man, better, stronger, faster. I'll give that to you when we come back. I want to talk to you a little bit about Blinds.com. If you really want to make an impact on the look of your home, the comfort of your home, and maybe even the resale value of your home, Blinds.com is the easiest and most inexpensive way to really, truly change the look of your home. Tanya and I have experienced Blinds.com now several times. Last time we did it in our bedroom. And it was the first time that I used one of their, consultants, because I just didn't know. I was looking, you know, there's so much stuff, blind shade, shutters, drapes, everything. And I don't know. I don't, you know, sometimes you get too much information. So we reached out to one of their consultants, and man, the service was the best. Same thing happened to Mark in Arizona. He wrote, heard about Blinds.com through Glenn Beck, had faith in his suggestion. We had amazing service. Quick delivery. Installation was a breeze. They look fantastic. I ordered more 2 weeks later and had exactly the same experience. I'm going to tell all my friends. That's the experience you're going to have, and your house is going to look great. Blinds.com. Find the perfect blind, shade, shutters, drapes, and upgrade your home for less than any other kind of home improvement that you can do. And they're going to send you free samples. Shipping is free. Plus, you get the free design consultation if you want it. And they'll guide you through the step-by-step installation. Find out yourself why over 20 million Americans have made Blinds.com the number one online retailer for custom window covering. Go to Blinds.com/Beck. You're going to get great prices as always. They're even better right now at Blinds.com/Beck. Save money. Transform your house. And you know what? Actually enjoy it while you're doing it. That doesn't happen very often. Blinds.com/Beck. Rules and restrictions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Okay. We're live on Facebook now because we had to ask the Facebook audience. We are we're both a little high on NyQuil today.
Yes, I'm heavily drugged.
Yeah,
right now.
So I'm not good at this anyway, but I cannot remember what we, because I think I said right before we went into the break, and I'll tell you about that when we come back. But Stu has absolutely no idea of what we were talking about because he's hepped up on NyQuil. Sarah, do you know?
Global warming?
No, it wasn't global warming. It was something to do with
hamsters?
It
wasn't hamsters?
No.
I will say,
they're not helpful now. They're just
suggesting strange things. Oh, bionic arms.
Bionic arms. Okay. That's what it was. Thank you. So bionic arms.
David.
So think about this. Right now, we look at losing an arm or a limb. That's a really bad thing. Okay? And it's a bad thing mainly because they don't work as well. Okay, it's, you know, you're strapping something on. It doesn't work. But imagine if you could be the $6 million man. Do you remember the Lee Majors show with $6 million man? Better, stronger, faster. It looked like an arm. Nobody knew that it wasn't. His legs worked. He could run super fast, all of that. We're entering that time. Okay. Now we're also entering a time to where you can say, you know what? I'm a woman. Cut it off. And we do.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you say, and I'm just making this up, I'm a sculptor, and my arms and my hands are not strong enough for me to really sculpt the way I want to sculpt. Doctor, cut my arms off. I want these arms, because these arms have been designed by me and a team to be the best for sculpting.
And you can essentially 3D print whatever sculpture you want. And
no, you 3D print your arms.
Well, yeah, but the arms will essentially do the work of a 3D printer on a sculpture, right?
Like, yes.
They'll just design the perfect thing.
Right. You'll be able to still think and use, but they will be better, stronger, faster. You want to, and the reason why I'm thinking this way is because there's a guy who was in a mountain climbing accident. He lived to mountain climb. He said he'd never walk again. He lost his legs. So he decided to take his time instead of feeling sorry for himself. He went to MIT. He designed new legs. Okay. Hmm. And the new legs, he designed feet that are really super small. So when he's on the mountain, they can fit into little teeny crevices. He's now a better mountain climber than anybody else. And he's like, this is great. Okay, well, let's play this out. What's going to stop people from saying, because we're already saying I'm a woman, cut it off. What's going to stop people from saying I have a right to cut off my limbs and replace them with this? Is that right? Is that wrong? Should you? Should you not? Those are the kinds of easy questions coming our way.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
So do you really believe in freedom of speech? Do you really believe in the First Amendment? I do. And it means that you have to stand up for even the voices that you strongly disagree with. In fact, it may be more important to stand up for those voices that you really don't agree with, but people are trying to shut down. First Amendment, not to be trifled with. And yet it seems to happen somewhere in the country every day now. Every day. This week in Louisiana, a female middle school English teacher was arrested for speaking at her school board meeting. Her crime? Apparently asking why the school district's superintendent was getting a $30,000 raise when teachers and other support staff haven't received a raise in over 10 years. I don't know. That seems like a pretty fair question. She pointed out that the district improved test scores. The state's rankings due to the efforts of the teachers are rising. And yet they continue to deal with much larger class sizes and no more money for 10 years. The teacher, Daisha Hargrave, was not being disruptive. She stood to speak with permission from the meeting chairman after he had opened the floor for audience comments. But the school board didn't like what she was questioning. Okay. Did they feel unsafe? One board member pounded his gavel and told her, "Stop, stop right now. It's not germane to what's on the agenda." She was then approached by a police officer who told her she had to leave. She walked herself out of the room, but the officer followed her. In the hallway, people attending the meeting could hear a commotion as she was suddenly handcuffed on the floor, led out of the building, put into a patrol car, and taken to jail. You know, oh my gosh. This is a public meeting. The floor was open for public comment. Hargrave is a citizen exercising her right to speak and, dare I quote the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, petition her government. What happened to her? She was silenced and carted off to jail. Fortunately, a local TV station was covering the school board meeting and got it all on camera, and the footage has gone viral. After reviewing the footage, the local city prosecutor decided, "Oh, you know what? We're not gonna press charges." Oh, well, I think Hargrave should. This is unconstitutional. This is the definition of why the First Amendment is in there. By the way, the school board approved the superintendent's raise at that meeting. The teachers are going to wait for theirs. Meanwhile, at least they have an object lesson about the importance of the First Amendment to take back to their students. And this is one time that I hope those teachers are teaching that lesson. Because America just doesn't seem to understand what freedom of speech really is and what it's for.
It's Thursday, January 11th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'd love to get Ms. Hargrave on with us. This is amazing to me. if this isn't what the First Amendment is about, I don't know what the First Amendment is for. Here's a private citizen standing up and questioning her government. And she has every right to do that. And they haul her away in handcuffs?
Well, we know what the First Amendment is for. It's for protecting hardcore pornography. What it was designed to do.
Yeah.
And now it does.
Yeah.
It does that really well.
Yeah.
It does that really well. Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a fundamental thing, right? You're supposed to be able to go to the government and say, this is my problem. That's the exact type of thing that was available
exactly
to our founders overseas.
That's exactly what King George did. This is why we broke away.
Yeah.
You couldn't question. You couldn't question. And if you questioned, you were an enemy and they threw you in jail. It is really phenomenal to me how out of control our government is, and local government too. We have taught them all the wrong lessons, that they are in charge of us. You should never be afraid of the school board. The school board should fear you.
Yeah, in strange ways, the local government at times can be worse than the federal government. They don't have the power, but they don't have the eyeballs on them either. And a lot of times when they start doing something shady or wrong, or someone has an agenda or some personal vendetta against an individual citizen, really crazy stuff can happen.
I can't think of anything like that, like some guy trying to build a fence in his own yard and the town allowing everybody else in town to do it, but not him.
Yeah, but you're awful, and I support them in that one.
Okay.
but no, that's true. And I mean, we've seen this with people losing their children to state agencies for very little or no reason. People who have had their money taken away at a traffic stop and are never able to reclaim it. In New Orleans, people getting their guns taken away, their Second Amendment right stripped right out and from under them, and never being able to reclaim their property. Not that it should have ever been taken in the first place. This happens all over America. We talked about it with elderly people. This is a few weeks before we went on vacation. Elderly people in homes that have their children visiting them every day or every couple days.
And not in homes like, oh, mom's in the home.
Right. Just in
her home.
Like a retirement community. Or whatever, assisted living. And people come in and say, your kids aren't really taken care of you. We're going to move you to another home and take all your belongings to pay for it. And it takes months or years until they get this reversed, if it ever gets done.
And when you complain, the judge and the caretaker, the guardian now of your parents, who are getting rich off of your parents, they're bleeding them dry.
Yeah.
And then changing their prescriptions. They have a right there. They actually had a right to go in and talk to the doctors and change their prescriptions. They were killing them. And this was not an isolated incident. And when you complain, that guardian says, you have small children at home. Maybe we should look into you. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy what's happening. That's why one of my predictions we talked about yesterday, or one of the things that I'm looking at forecasting for 2018, was this revival of a freedom movement. And if the people who are truly consistent on freedom can see right now, you know what? Liberals are not my enemy. They're not my enemy. And if liberals can say conservatives are not my enemy, progressives are the trouble. Progressives, they're the ones that don't believe in the Constitution being equally applied. It's not a liberal. You want to believe all kinds of crazy things and yada, that's fine. That's fine. You can do that. I support you. I'll stand up for your right to say whatever it is. But don't force me to do those things. Don't force others to do those things. You don't have a right to force me. I don't have a right to force you into my church. I don't have a right to force you to go to church. I don't have a right to force you to believe in God. I don't have a right to do that. And you don't have a right to tear me apart because I do.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday.
I mean, I shouldn't say that. You have a right to tear me apart, but you don't have a right to destroy my life and force me not to.
We were talking about this on TV yesterday with the Google diversity story. James Damore, who was, if you remember, fired because he basically said men and women are kind of different. And really, with no hatred at all. I mean,
no, he was making a very good point. Look, there is a reason. You know, when he's talking about tech, and let me just try to really dumb this down to my level. When he's talking about tech, he said, you know, guys are more interested in tech than women are. There's more guys in tech because it just
fits their expertise.
Right. How many women do you know that, you know, politely listen to their husband as they talk about the new TV that's out, the new whatever that's out? Oh, my gosh, this is the greatest thing. Yeah. And generally speaking, women are like, OK, I got it.
Not as likely to be interested in the topic.
Correct.
Right. So I have two kids, 4 and 6. And, you know, we didn't start an agenda when they were born, be like, we need to make sure that we treat this boy so that he likes sports and he likes Nerf guns.
Correct.
And we have to make sure that she likes Frozen and she likes Barbie. We didn't have a big plan to do that.
Correct.
That happened, though. And it happens, you know, in all the overwhelming percentage of cases, not in every case, mm-mm, but the overwhelming majority. That's not something that you shouldn't be able to notice.
Right. And you shouldn't also, if your kid, you know, if your boy is not into sports, I wasn't into sports. My dad never forced me and questioned me like, why? You're supposed to be into sports. Well, I wasn't into sports. So there's nothing wrong with that either. So it's not like you force them into those things, but generally speaking, they do that. So what he was saying was, look, because they're generally speaking, they don't feel the same about tech as boys do when they're boys. Second of all, because they prioritize things differently.
Yeah.
Guys prioritize work, going in, finding value in work, et cetera, much more than women. I would say they're probably more healthy, but it's a good balance to have. They prioritize family. They prioritize children. They prioritize, you know, let's simplify our life. We don't need all this stuff, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And those are hasty generalizations because I know women who are not like that. And that's okay, too.
Of course, generalizations are not designed to catch every little case. That's not what a generalization is.
Correct.
And to bring this full circle to where we started the show today, it explains, those differences explain almost every cent of the quote unquote pay gap between men and women.
Yes.
You know, we talked about the Mark Wahlberg story earlier today, and, you know, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous story. You can go back to hour one if you want to hear that. But it's the idea that there's this big pay gap is explained by prioritizing and choices. Almost exclusively. I mean, it winds up going away. But I was interested in what from last night. You found a quote from a Google engineer after this whole...
This is terrifying.
This whole scenario went down. Listen to this. Listen to this thinking. You know, there are certain alternative views, including different political views, which I do not want people to feel safe to share here. My tolerance ends at my friend's terror. You can believe that women or minorities are unqualified all you want. I can't stop you. But if you say it out loud, then you deserve what's coming to you. Yes, this is silencing. I intend to silence these views. They are violently offensive. Take your false equivalents and your fake symmetry and shove them hard up where the sun don't shine. I mean,
you want to talk about intolerance?
That's intolerance.
First of all, he wasn't saying that they're not qualified. He's not saying that. He's saying you're looking at something that is natural and you're trying to go against nature and you're trying to force this. Why? Why force it? Let everyone have an equal opportunity, but stop trying to force things. There are natural reasons why we're in the situation that we're in. And if it's because women aren't given a chance, then that one we fix. If that's what it is, then we really concentrate that and fix that. But if it is because they're really not interested in the same degree as men, you know, how many women grow up and go, I want to be a football player? Well, okay, so not very many. And if there are, then good, they can start a football league. It probably won't be as successful like the women's basketball league, but that's fine. But we don't look at our football team and say, we have to have at least 50% women on this team.
Right.
No. No. Do the right thing. Stop judging people by their gender, their color. Look at the content of their character. Look at their skills, period. And you notice one of the things that he said in this that really stuck out to me. Read the first couple of lines again, will you?
You know, there are certain alternative views, including different political views.
Okay, stop. There's a certain alternative views. This coming from the side who has been talking about alternative facts. Okay. Their argument was there are no alternative facts.
Right, right.
Okay. He's not saying there are some alternative facts. He's saying there's alternative views, a point of view. I believe we have a God-ridden given right to our point of view. But listen, here's the real problem. Read on.
Alternative views, including different political views, which I do not want people to feel safe to share here.
Stop. I do not want people to feel safe to express here. There's a difference between feeling uncomfortable. Look, this is it was a really uncomfortable meeting. Why? We disagreed. It was uncomfortable. I've never left a meeting and said, I really felt unsafe. We must separate unsafe and uncomfortable. He is saying, I don't want them to feel safe here. Well, what does that mean? That means pitchforks, torches, you're going to be beat up. I mean, this is bully stuff. You want to talk about bullying? There it is. And yet the people at Google cheered. There's going to be six burglaries that happen in America by the time I finish this commercial. Six. So what stops them? Well, SimpliSafe. They don't give up because, you know, a house has a security system. They find another one that doesn't. They find a house that isn't protected. They're looking for the easy thing. That's why securing your home is really, really necessary and easy. This is a brilliant security system built by SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe, ridiculously smart. Its sensors will protect every access point to your home. And if a burglar tries to break in, the siren goes off. Some of their systems takes a picture of the person trying to break in, has it ready. So when the police arrive, you're like, well, that's them. This is really good and really inexpensive. When you see the price of their systems, it will boggle your mind. 24/7 monitoring is also only $14.99 a month. I warn you, when you go to SimpliSafe, you're going to realize if you've ever done home security before and you've had the guys come in and, you know, set it up and wire and everything else, you're going to realize how badly you've been ripped off almost your whole life. SimpliSafe. This is the new way. 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to even just try it, but, I mean, you're going to love it. Go with SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com and protect your family, protect your stuff, protect your home. Peace of mind with SimpliSafeBeck.com. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Back.
Let's take Jim in Ohio. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hello.
Hey, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Just real quick, I heard you talking about Ripple this morning, and I got into Ripple when it was 25 cents back in November.
Yeah.
It's now, well, exploded. Unfortunately, I'm not as rich as I'd like to be yet. But it is a deflationary currency, so every time there's a Ripple transaction, a little bit of Ripple disappears.
Right, right.
So that's how it's different than Bitcoin, but there's a lot of people in the crypto sphere that hate it because it is kind of a centralized currency where Bitcoin is decentralized.
Right, right. So how much have you made, Jim, if you don't mind me asking?
Is the IRS less than that?
No.
That's
no.
Not a good way to answer.
That's a good way to answer that, yeah.
No. I've only made a couple $100, but I listened to your show for years, and I remember you saying, just put in what you can afford to lose. And
Don't do anything else.
It being November and Christmas, I didn't have much to lose, so invested a little bit.
Yeah, good for you.
Getting more into it.
Good for you. Thanks,
Jim.
Thank
you for your help, and thank you for all you do. And Stu, go Eagles.
Yes. Yes. This is the weekend. The only thing I actually care about is the one thing that finally gets mentioned on
Thursday.
So
this, wait a minute. Hang on. This is like, we're close. Are they in the playoffs?
Yeah, they're the number one seed, 13-3, baby.
I mean, this could happen for you.
Well, I mean, you know, they lost their quarterback. So, I mean, it's a, people are not optimistic. And when I say people, I mean a lot of people, including me, probably. I'm never optimistic that they're actually going to win the Super Bowl, but
no,
they've never won the Super Bowl.
No, and you've always been like, they're going to screw. You're like Charlie Brown.
A little
bit. With the Eagles. You're always like, you're hopeful. You're running up to that and you're like, I'm going to be there. And then you know they're going to pull the football away at the last moment.
Well, that's what happened with the quarterback. You got the MVP of the league. They're the number one seed. They're 13-3. And a couple games before the end of the season, they lose their quarterback, Carson Wentz. Knee, you know, blew out his knee, basically. You know, hopefully.
Maybe God's mad at him.
I don't know. He seems to like God quite a bit. And that's one of the.
Maybe God turns out to be that elephant thing with the 12 arms or whatever it is.
That's possible.
You know, and he's like, I got enough arms. I'm going to, you know, take his knee out. Because he's the leader of that group that is. I mean, you're not hearing a lot of this, but enough to just be fascinating on how spiritual the Eagles have become.
Yeah, behind the
scenes. And it's all become him, right?
Well, he's one of the big, big parts of it, yeah.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, portions of the program brought to you by Goldline. They have something really, really cool right now where you can get a gold legal tender bar card. It has, you know, it's the legal tender, and it has, what is it, the 8 pieces of gold that you can keep in your pocket. It's really, really great. And 60 silver rounds at employee cost. Plus, if you just call them right now, they have... a free half ounce of silver just for listening and just for calling. So call them today, 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-465-3546. Just call them and get the half ounce round of silver right now. It's free, 866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. Welcome to the program, Pat Gray. How Thanks. Are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm good. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things.
Okay, I guess. It's not that bad.
That's good to hear.
I mean, good might be an overstatement.
Probably.
We didn't really care. Okay. We didn't really care.
I thought I was sensing some concern there. No.
Okay. All right. No, it's just something we say.
All right.
It's something we say. There's a couple of things that I want to talk to you about. One, I saved this. You know, I have the... have you seen my predictions that I've put out for 2018?
No, not yet.
They're available.
You just did that yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I've been extremely busy.
Yeah, have you?
No. Okay.
I had to catch up on some TV shows.
We're not concerned about that either.
Yeah.
Just so you're aware. Okay. We're not.
Why am I here?
Well, we don't know. We don't know. Okay. So here's one. Jeez, I can't find it now. Here's one that I put in here. And I basically put it. Here it is. I put it in for you and Stu.
Okay.
Prediction for 2018.
Yeah.
New foods and flavors of common food items through genetics or natural manipulation will be introduced to the public broadly.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now listen to this. Have you heard of the new bubblegum grapes?
No.
They are genetic.
I've had cotton candy grapes.
Grapes, and they're really good.
They're awesome.
They're really good.
So cotton candy grapes and bubblegum grapes are out in limited supply.
What do they do to make that? To make it taste like bubblegum?
I'm not sure I want to ask.
Yeah. I personally do not care.
So it is genetic manipulation.
Is it? I don't know. For the bubblegum one.
Yeah.
At least. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
What's the prediction entail?
That more of these things are going to come out, and they're going to come out broadly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to get me off of French fries? You want to get me off of donuts? Give me a donut-tasting apple.
Right. Or broccoli that tastes like steak.
Right.
I'd be all over that.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be something?
I'm not sure this is good.
Chocolate broccoli. Chocolate Brussels sprouts. I think that's really good. I don't care how you get there. Just do it.
I fully think it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously you have to watch how you do it. I mean, you know, there's some poison that tastes like donuts. You don't stick it in the grapes. But I, there is a over. I mean, I'll still probably eat it.
I probably would.
I mean, capitalism and science working together. I mean, that is, what are the two things people really want to do? This is Penn Jillette talked about this a long time ago on one of his shows. I think it was the Showtime BS show. And he said the two things that human beings kind of instinctively really want to do is eat more than they should and have sex more than they should.
Mm-hmm.
And between
more than they should.
Yeah. Like
you can have sex more than you should.
I probably, I don't know. Okay. I certainly have never had that as a problem in my life.
I have never faced that either.
And so his point was that science and capitalism will work hard to take the consequences out of those two actions. So the consequences being disease or the consequences being unwanted childbirth. You don't want to be punished with a baby, obviously. It's an important thing you want to avoid.
We've had a president that pointed that out.
Birth control, right? Mm-hmm. Like as you know, condoms have taken not every consequence, but lots of those physical consequences, at least out of sex.
Virtual reality sex is mm-hmm. solving that problem.
Right. On the other side, you know, there are zero calorie sweeteners. You might not like them. But think of that, think of how many calories people couldn't, you know, take in with sugar that could wind up being zero. Mm-hmm. There are now like salad dressings and sauces and all sorts of things that are zero calories.
And some of it tastes really good.
Some of it is good. Some of it is not. Some of it's terrible.
You know, it's really bad. Yeah. So over the holidays, I was in a store and, because it's the holidays, I was only looking at the candy because it's the holidays, not for me, for the kids, but
yeah,
I really like Red Vines. I hate all other licorice, but I love Red Vines.
You don't like Twizzlers?
Oh, I hate that.
But really? Like Red Vines.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do like Red Vines too.
Yeah. They're love delicious. Red Vines. I hate everything else. And so, there's this like tan box of Red Vines and it said made with cane sugar and no artificial coloring or anything else. It was delicious, but it did something that I thought, oh, it's healthy.
Okay. I don't think you need to go too far into
it's that. It's healthy because it's made with real sugar.
Yes. Well, and that would be healthier.
Yes, it would.
It would. But it's like butter and margarine.
We're kind of redefining healthy.
Yeah,
you know
we
what
are.
I mean? Going back to the natural ingredients. It kind of redefines healthy.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, healthy is really a word without a definition. No one can explain what it actually means. What does it mean? Like I would say absent of disease, mm-hmm. right? Not mm-hmm. sick, not having the 12 diseases I apparently have right now.
I would say that
cough my way through a
really,
show.
Really, somebody who is really healthy, it can perform at the level of their body's capabilities.
Right, but you could totally do that with all the things that we're talking about that are unhealthy. You can eat Red Vines all you want. And at some point it will have negative consequences, but yes. It will take a long time.
Yeah.
If you could have Red Vines every single day and be there, and people have done it. How many people have lived to 110 years old eating Big Macs every day?
Oh.
We see those stories all the time.
I had a great aunt who ate gristle every day. Oh.
Gristle?
Ah. She didn't eat the meat. She liked the gristle from the meat.
Shut up.
She lived to 103 years old.
But you know what?
103.
What is the difference between that and a pork rind, though?
That's just the gristle. It's probably just like a pork rind.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
103.
I mean,
I'm thinking about taking that.
I'm going all gristle.
Yeah.
Beginning today, now that I've remembered that.
Yeah. I don't think it has anything to do. You know, these people who are like, I'm 144 years old and I've smoked. I chew tobacco.
I had a bottle of whiskey every day.
I brush my teeth with whiskey. And look at me. I think that might be genetics. I don't think that's your diet.
Uh huh.
It depends on what you combine it with, too. Right. I mean, I think
butter.
Right, but that was back in the day how people ate, right? And they also,
and died at about 68 years old.
But then we're told, I mean, you were just saying that butter, like a lot of people think, you know, hey, butter is better, right? Like butter is better. Real sugar is better.
I think it is. I think it is.
You may. I mean, but.
I have a feeling in about 40 years, we're going to find out that meat tasting broccoli is not as good as broccoli.
Anytime you modify them, you're going to change something, right? You're going to change it.
You have to.
Yeah.
But these things, I mean.
But wait. Oh my gosh, I just thought of something great. If we genetically change broccoli into meat,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes really, really popular, but bad for you, they'll say we have to stop making this. But maybe we haven't kept any heirloom seeds of real broccoli.
Would
we
be
can
nice.
Rid the world right. of broccoli.
That's something humanity can accomplish.
Yes. I think we set a course.
That's something we aspire to.
Engage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever get those people who come to you too that are just like, you're on some diet or whatever because you just, you know, you get past the holidays and, you know, with the exception of Pat, who did this 3 months earlier than the holidays, right? Or whatever mm-hmm. it was. Just you get mm-hmm. so disgusted with yourself that you're mm-hmm. just like, I've just got to do something about this and I got to start eating better and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have, of course, the one friend who's actually in shape and they see you poking away at some terrible looking salad. And they say, all you got to do is eat in moderation. Just cut back a little bit here and there and don't go crazy. And, you know, just do some exercise and it'll be great. You don't need to go crazy. Shut up.
Yeah, those people usually end up with a fork in their chest.
Yeah, right after they said that. It's like, if I could do all of those things, I wouldn't need you.
Right. Shut up, because you're starting to look tasty. So what are you covering today, Pat? What's on your mind?
I'm kind of sick about some of the unintended consequences of the Donald Trump Steve Bannon breakup.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
This is
terrible. There's more to consider than just the two of them. For instance, who gets custody of Michael Savage in all of this? Some of the kids are going to be upset.
Yeah.
Which one do they go with?
I don't know. I will tell you that, what's his name, though?
Oh, yeah. This is very sad. Alex Jones.
He gets, Trump gets custody of him.
Trump got custody of? Okay.
Alex
Jones had a report today that a lot of people were sending to us on the Twitters,
I love Alex Jones news. I don't know already. I love this.
This is great. He has a report that apparently proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Steve Bannon was an anti-Trump agent the whole time.
Oh, my.
Now, it was a weird way. It was a weird approach to, like, take over a campaign and make him president when he was an anti.
Yeah. Well, it's like, can I tell you something? It is like John Roberts and his. He is so stealthy on getting rid of Obamacare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He voted for it.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Super stealth.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Bannon was doing, apparently. According to this.
These guys are so much smarter than we are.
They are.
Yeah.
That's
the
problem.
Are.
You know,
they are.
It's like Trump's move day before yesterday, when he seemed like he was backing off some of his really hardline immigration stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a trick to trick Congress into doing a bill that he can veto.
Did you get those calls yesterday?
We did too. We did too.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah. Like,
why would he veto it?
I don't
why
know.
Why would he veto it?
He already said, give me anything, I'll sign anything you do.
Yeah. Why
Which
would
is
he
what
do
I
that?
Explained to them. No, that's just part of the strategy, Pat.
It's always part of the strategy.
Oh, wow. That's
okay.
An
now,
interesting
there is
strategy.
This. There, try this out for size. We still haven't passed the budget, right? We're still looking at a government shutdown.
Yeah, I think that is still going. They did an extension.
Yeah, they did an extension.
And that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, they did an extension. I think that's coming. Can you look up real quick when that's coming? I think it's coming soon. What about this? This one I thought of last night, and I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe he was just putting that out there so the press could cover it, and he's like, hey, I'm working with the Democrats. I'm working with everything. And then when the budget doesn't come through...
10 days, it looks like.
10 days. Oh, yeah. He could play this game for 10 days, and then he could say, damn it. And when everybody says, it's the Republicans, he could say, no. Have I not been reasonable in the last 10 days? I've been trying to work with these guys, and they won't get reasonable. I've said, put it on my desk, and they won't agree.
Well, in 10 days, we'll know.
Yeah, in 10 days, that's a possibility.
It's not likely. I don't think that's what he's doing, but I'd love it if that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
That would be great.
After this meeting, when conservatives, and this is one of the things we said yesterday, it's like, if you care about the border, make sure your voice is heard to Trump. His supporters, the people who really voted for them and then like the guy, need to make themselves very vocal in these periods when he's flirting with the left, because he does tend to back off of those things when he hears from his base.
And if he doesn't hear from his base, did you hear yesterday? Can we play the audio, please, of Donald Trump talking about the reviews of that meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have it, Sarah? He was talking about how everybody was happy
with it.
How great it was, how great his performance was.
And it was a tremendous meeting. Actually, it was reported as incredibly good. And my performance, some of them called it a performance. I consider it work. But got great reviews by everybody other than two networks who were phenomenal for about 2 hours. Then after that, they were called by their bosses and say, oh, wait a minute. And unfortunately, a lot of those anchors sent us letters saying that was one of the greatest meetings they've ever witnessed.
Wow.
And they were great.
Came in the mail
for about
fast,
2 hours. Hey. They were phenomenal.
All right. So what is he saying here? He's saying, look at the left. They loved me. They loved me. They thought this was great. He responds to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he does.
If you don't, even if you think he's playing a game, if you don't let him know, hey, dude, we're not cool with that, he's not going to get that message. He's going to think you're cool with it. They're cool with it. Mm-hmm. If he is playing a game, you'll be right and everybody will be happy. If he's not playing a game, if you shut your mouth and don't let him know, I ain't cool with this, you're going to lose.
This is why Donald Trump deserves the same treatment that everybody else gets, which is when you do something good, you say good things about it. And when they do something bad, we say bad things about it. This idea that we're supposed to make excuses for him every time he does something we don't like is ridiculous. And the same thing.
We didn't do it for Bush. Why would we do it for Trump?
We didn't do it for Bush. We didn't do it for Romney. We didn't do everything. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like you have to, when he heard these voices about, hey, wait a minute, you said, you know, you might not need a wall. You said you'd do a clean DACA bill. What did he do? 10 minutes later, he's tweeting about how, oh, by the way, we do need a wall. I mean, you can, if he hears your voice and you hold him to the things that he campaigned on, he does tend to go back to those positions.
He wants to be liked. He wants to be liked. So let him know how to like you. I want to talk to you a little bit about LifeLock. 54% of holiday shoppers went to shop and do their holiday shopping on mobile devices. And that has put all of your information out in several different places. It's an opportunity to steal your credit card information, other personal data, and it's bad. It's really bad. 1 in 4 people, a quarter of Americans, have already experienced identity theft. If you're only monitoring your credit, your identity, it's not just your credit, it's your identity, it's your bank account. Thieves can sell your information on the dark web or get get themselves an online payday loan in your name. LifeLock, they will detect a range of identity threats, a very wide range. And if you have a problem, a U.S.-based restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or, you know, monitor all transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock can uncover the threats that everybody else seems to miss. Join now. Get 10% off with the promo code BECK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or use LifeLock.com and the promo code BECK. That's LifeLock.com, promo code BECK. Save 10% now. LifeLock.com, promo code BECK.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Tonight, 5 o'clock, show you don't want to miss. Been a week of really great shows at 5 o'clock. You can watch them all on demand now at theblaze.com/TV. Tonight, we're going to cover a couple of things. We're going to cover the future, 2018, what we're looking at, what we're forecasting to come your way. And we're going to talk a little bit about tech in depth tonight.
And you're going to hear from yet another white man about how gender equality is not true, and no one it's not a real thing we should pursue.
I don't know if that's the way I would promote that. I'm the white man, right?
Yes, of course. Okay. You are whitey.
All right. Today, 5 o'clock, only on theblaze.com/TV.
Back, Mercury.